CRTV's afternoon edition with me, Drusilla Mokoso Jockey. In our top stories, Cameroon positions herself as potential exporter of transformed steel products in the CEMAC zone, with the laying of the foundation stone for the construction of a modern steel transforming plant in the Kiribi Port Industrial Zone. Cameroon confers legal status on customary marriage with the enactment by President Paul Biya of the law to organize the civil status registration system, requiring the transcription of customary unions by civil authorities and the recognition of spousal rights. And in sports, delayed day three fixtures of the National Division 1 and 2 football championships are played in stadia today and tomorrow as league leaders seek to maintain their unofficial standings. And those were our top stories, but first, the news bulletin.
The bulletin with Moki Edwin Kinzeka. Expectations are high on how Cameroon's economic, political, social and cultural lives will be shaped in 2025 as the nation gets set to listen to the head of state, President Paul Biya's end-of-year State of the Nation address tomorrow, December the 31st. The message traditionally reviews salient moments of the ending year and delves into what the government plans or expects from the citizens. The president's message this year will be delivered within the context of a very fragile economic and security environment coupled with climate shocks. The prime minister, head of government, has on behalf of the president of the republic, Paul Biya, planted the foundation stone for the construction of a modern steel transforming plant in the Kiribi Port Industrial Zone. The factory is projected to have a production capacity of up to 2.5 million tons of iron ore and 1.5 million tons of expandable steel upon completion. Joseph John Gute said during the ceremony that the structure, which falls in line with the government's import substitution policy, will help stabilize the internal market and make Cameroon an exporter of transformed steel products. The Ministry of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development has allocated 215 million civil francs to subsidize the production capacities of six private fruits, vegetables and cereals processing enterprises. The head of the six companies received their partnership terms of reference from Minister Lamine Ousmane May during a ceremony he chaired today in Yaoundé. Members of the Commission of the Homologation of Pesticide Products and Certification of Sprayers are currently reviewing over 200 files to ensure that they conform with the international standards of phytosanitary products. The 37th ordinary session of the Commission is chaired by its president, the Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development, Gabriel Mbarobi, who has decried the high level of corrupt practices in the commercialization and use of phytosanitary products in the country. The Director General of Elections hereby informed Cameroonian civilians, political parties, and the administration that the national electoral registers are available for consultation at Elections Cameroon's council branches and at ELECAM's focal points throughout the national territory. The number of registered voters are as follows. In Cameroon, 7,822 voters. Abroad, 26,800. That is the total number of registered voters. Out of Cameroon, former US President Jimmy Carter has died aged 100. He is being remembered for his humanitarian values by fellow colleagues and family. He died on Sunday at home in Plains, Georgia. At least 71 people have died in southern Ethiopia after a lorry plunged into a river. The vehicle, which was traveling through Sidima State on Sunday, fell into the river after it missed a bridge, according to local officials. Many of the passengers had been guests at a wedding party. And in sports, Cameroon will not take part in the 2025 edition of the African Nations Championship that opens in February. The Intermediate Lions were eliminated by the Central African Republic by 2 goals on each side on aggregate following their 2-1 win in Bafoussam over the weekend. That ends the bulletin with Moki Edwin Kinzeka. CRTV's afternoon edition continues with Drusilla Mokoso-Joki.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRTV's afternoon edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's afternoon edition.
Connecting people.
Thank you for being with us. The traditional end-of-year address of President Paul Biya comes up tomorrow, December the 31st, 2024. As Cameroonians expectantly await the address, the nation reflects on the agenda of the President of the Republic at home and abroad, which was impressive, albeit marked by multiple economic and security-related challenges. Despite these difficulties confronted by most African countries, President Paul Biya kept Cameroon within manageable parameters with a resilient economy and a peaceful social climate. His diplomatic score sheet in 2024 has also been remarkable, with 2 important visits out of the country to France and China. Unity Palace correspondent Amin Keng Edward has a review of some high points of President Paul Biya's agenda in 2025.
President Paul Biya's agenda in 2024 began unfolding as early as in January 5, 2024, when he received New Year wishes of good tidings from state dignitaries and members of the diplomatic corps. A moment as a matter of tradition to fraternize with his compatriots and also have a frank and sincere exchange with heads of diplomatic mission with a view of consolidating the Cameroonian brand on the international stage. And talking about the Cameroonian brand that depicts its resilience and economic potentials, the President of the Republic had a sumptuous time in 2024 to sell to the world the values that have given Cameroon its relevance on the global scene. In this light, President Paul Biya's invitation by his French counterpart Emmanuel Macron to participate in the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris, France, and later on August 15 as guest of honor at the 80th anniversary of Allied landing in Provence, France, are 2 separate invitations and 2 events that put Cameroon on the spotlight, and particularly President Paul Biya as one of the world's leaders to hold in very high esteem when issues of global concern are on the table. President Paul Biya's presence in Beijing, China, precisely in September 2024, on the invitation of Xi Jinping of China for the China-African Summit, also speaks to the extreme consideration that world leaders have for Cameroon and its president, whose quiet diplomacy is offering the best opportunities to find lasting solutions to the most complicated global crisis. In fact, an intense moment of diplomacy on the international scene this 2024 that was also characterized by a series of audiences at home and abroad with some very distinguished personalities and partners of Cameroon, notably a special envoy from Pope Francis and an emissary from the President of Djibouti, plus 8 different heads of diplomatic mission who presented their accreditation letters to President Paul Biya last November 24 at the Unity Palace. Also prominent on President Paul Biya's agenda in 2024 was the recent extraordinary summit of the Conference of CEMAC Heads of State, initiated and hosted by President Paul Biya at the Unity Palace to reset the economic and financial clock of the sub-region. If President Paul Biya successfully kept a clean sheet in 2024 to the admiration of world leaders and in the face of very challenging moments, it would be fair enough to give credit to the Cameroonian people, whose confidence and legitimacy President Paul Biya enjoys. And he also enjoys, in 2024, the very, very prestigious CAF Excellence Award for his incredible investment in the development of sports in Cameroon. What do we for the Confederation of African Football CAF to say Anselmo continue, Mr. President.
Unity Palace correspondent Amin Keng Edward. On to one of our headline stories. The Prime Minister, head of government, says the strategic choices made by President Paul Biya in the mining sector are gradually but surely reducing the country's dependence on the foreign market. Chief Dr. Joseph Jiangute was speaking today in Kribi, where he laid the foundation stone for the construction of a modern steel transforming plant on behalf of the head of state. The elite and population of the South region turned out massively in the Kribi Port Industrial Zone to witness the event. Star Building correspondent Christian Chiatam reports from Kribi.
In a tiny portion of the equatorial forest selected to host the Kribi Modern Steel Factory within the Kribi Port area, the clock read 11:30 when the Prime Minister, head of government, Joseph Jiangute, on behalf of President Paul Biya, positioned the foundation stone of the modern steel transforming plant. A moment of satisfaction not only for the different members of government who worked to set up the project, but also for the elite and population of the South who gathered to watch history in the making. Their joy was expressed by the mayor, who rejoiced over the continuous growth of the Kribi Port Industrial Zone and its effect on the local economy. The Directors General of Kamsteel and of Bestway Finance presented the technical characteristics of the future factory, thanking government for supporting its implantation. The Prime Minister, head of government, who represented President Paul Biya, explained the sense behind the setting up of the modern steel transforming factory. Joseph Jiangute recalled that Cameroon has suffered greatly from the irregular supply of iron products for construction due to COVID-19, but also because of ongoing conflicts around the world. He noted that the government adopted an import substitution policy to enable Cameroon reduce its dependence on imported materials and increase its production capacity for essential products. The Prime Minister said the steel transforming plant will enable Cameroon to transform iron ore from Balam, which could help reduce the cost of iron products by up to 30%. Joseph Jiangute also highlighted the fact that the company, in its first phase, will generate some 2,000 jobs and up to 20,000 when the whole chain goes operational. The Prime Minister said apart from the transfer of technology from which Cameroonian experts will benefit, the country will also become an exporter of finished steel products to the CEMAC sub-region. From the Kribi Port Industrial Zone, Christian Chiatam, CRTV.
The Kribi Modern Steel Complex is a key part of Cameroon's development plan, providing a platform to shift the country's economy away from few sources of income and toward a variety of sectors and markets. Experts forecast that the meager project will transform Kribi into an industrial hub with prospects for boom days in Cameroon, particularly, and the CEMAC subregion as a whole. Winston Lebga has this report.
Promising figures are linked to the project. The steel mill is to transform up to 2.5 million tons of iron ore and to produce expandable steel amounting to about 1.5 million tons. The general manager of one of the companies involved in the project, Cameroon Steel, Chinese-born Wen Wangqiang, speaking through an interpreter, announces bright prospects for economic and structural development.
Is about to build the first modern steel plant in Central Africa within Kribi Port Authority. And with 50 anchor sites, the planned instruction will include the production facilities, warehouse, and a civil area, enabling the complex to reach in the production capacity of up to 1 million tons of steel per year.
Another official linked to the project is the general manager of Bestway Financial Limited, Alexandre Mbiam.
It is essential to highlight the contribution of the People's Republic of China under the leadership of His Excellency President Xi Jinping, who has offered unwavering support financially and technically to this endeavor. Cameroon Steel is being developed in partnership with Hua Xia and Gili Machinery Group, both fully committed to establishing a strong and competitive steel industry in our country.
He also declared that upon completion, steel-related products will be sold in Cameroon and the CEMAC sub-region at reduced costs.
Defense and security forces have been deployed in the town of Tuboro, which borders Chad and the Central African Republic, in a bid to step up security measures ahead of the new year. The security reinforcement in Tuboro is a strong response to combat cases of kidnappings for ransom and cattle theft. A special envoy, Albert Njembonde, joined a patrol team of the 31st Motorized Battalion, and our reports from Tuboro.
7:30 a.m. in Tuboro, the flag hoisting ritual holds at the tactical command post of the 31st Military Battalion under the command of Major William Ambassa.
Hello.
The deputy chief of the military secretariat, Colonel Ngolo Ngomba, dispatched from Yaounde, watches on. It is a command post created to respond to the phenomenon of hostage taking for ransom and cattle theft rife in the subdivision. Patrols this morning head on towards the two borderlines. 25 kilometers away is Chad. Securing the movement of people and goods is crucial. Then the over 35 kilometer stretch to the Central African Republic, reputed as pasture for cattle. Patrols like these are a threat to kidnappers and a reassurance to the population, who are mainly farmers and livestock breeders. Colonel Roger Fomundam is commander of the 31st Motorized Infantry Brigade.
I want to assure you that for the past 2 weeks, there has been nothing concerning that issue. We are fighting with all our means at our disposal.
The military presence is an assurance to preserve a climate of doing business, to keep Tuboro's reputation as a town of three frontiers where peace reigns before, during, and after New Year festivities. Albert Njembonde, Guy Joel Noir, on special assignment, Tuboro.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
Seventeen minutes after 3 p.m., you're listening to CRTV's Afternoon Edition. We told you at the start of this newscast, customary marriage henceforth enjoys legal status in Cameroon following the enactment by President Paul Biya last December the 23rd, 2024, of a law to organize the civil status registration system. The new law calls for the transcription of customary marriages. Legal experts have said that the new law on customary marriages in Cameroon offers protection for both spouses and children born of such unions. Let's now hear from Barrister Kwe Halliday on the implications of this development in the following excerpt proposed by Kelly Eben.
The law sanctions excessive bride price. We look at the provisions of Section 357 of the Penal Code, which cover that anyone who demands excessive bride price, or who collects bride price twice, can be punished with imprisonment from 1 year to 5 years, or with a fine from 5,000 francs to 500,000 francs, or with both such fine and imprisonment. So this is what the law says about excessive bride price. The law is only coming to reiterate the procedure for transcription. Clearly, we have marriages that have been celebrated under customary law in Cameroon and declared at the level of the civil status registrar. Such marriages do exist. The law has only made things better compared to what used to exist before.
And that was Barrister Kwe Halliday speaking to our reporter Kelly Eben. In the meantime, traditional authorities and the population in the West region have remarked with disdain that the payment of dowry has witnessed a significant increase as compared to the past. Many on the streets of Bafoussam indicate that this phenomenon is becoming more of a money-making venture. Eric Langmiawufo reports.
On the streets of Bafoussam,
almost everyone has a story to tell when it comes to the payment of a dowry.
I have two affinities who wanted to dowry their loved ones. The father of the first girl requested that his house should be roofed. The second was given a list that was evaluated to be close to 3 million CFA francs, and the guy had to give up.
The third class ruler of Kankop 7 in Bavosambi's Majesty, Jean-Paul Chuchua, suggests that the payment of a dowry has witnessed a dramatic change.
It was uniquely a symbol of appreciation, and it was never meant to buy the woman. The father-in-law didn't oblige the son-in-law to pay more than what he himself had paid when he was getting married. It used to be locks of wood, gold, symbolic money, and tins of oil.
Dowry payment in the West region is said to symbolize the solidification of a link. This grim picture, however, the people of the region opine could be the result of some aggravated tensions between in-laws, or better still, the result of many unpaid dowries resulting in many illegal unions. Eric Langmia-Wofo, CRTV News, Bafosam.
And residents in Ebolova say the high bride price demanded by some families in the south as part of marriage rites is a major cause for concern. According to them, these families are making marriage increasingly unaffordable and causing delay in marriage among young men and women. As you tell us, Silas Nkwang.
Dowry or mover in Bolo was once viewed as an expression of love and consideration for the bride's family, and left to the discretion of the groom's family. David Vondon Timban is a notable in Ebolova.
It was a combination of some symbolic items that will furbish the friendship between the two families of the spouses.
But today, modernity has completely changed the landscape.
It has really become expensive in modern times. People in some families think that when they require a lot of money, it means they will come out from poverty to their in-laws.
Residents say the bride price can go as high as
more than 4 million. And see, yet just introduction, their pigs, their wrapper, everything.
When I just hear that word marriage in this region, I first have a shock.
The demand for high bride price has left many matured ladies here and from here unmarried. Some men get scared of going into such families for marriage.
You might fall in love with one here, but you choose to go back to a different place.
Even though some of these marriage rites are very important, and some people even face consequences for not fulfilling them, Ebolova residents think they should be regulated. Silas Nkwine, CRTV News.
In other news, the Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development has reiterated the need to clear the market of fake phytosanitary products by tightening checks and on imported pesticides and sprayers. Minister Gabriel Mbairobe, who is also president of the Commission of Homologation of Pesticide Products and Certification of Sprayers, was addressing members during the 37th session underway in Yaoundé. In the following excerpt of an interview, Minister Gabriel Mbairobe underpins the relevance of building capacities on the use of safe phytosanitary products.
The Commission of Homologation of Pesticide Products and Certification of Sprayer is a very important commission in the policy of One Health, because you know that vegetables give us all the oxygen for our life, give us about 60% of the food. And this commission aims to authorize only the products which are in compliance with the regulation and which are not harmful for human health or vegetable health. We need to combat counterfeiting, because we have a lot of counterfeiting in our country. That's why today we have more than 200 files, but we have to be rigorous and do a good job in order that at the end of the day we retain only the good files to have good products in our country.
The Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development, Gabriel Mbairobe. And the sum of 215 million CFA francs has been allocated to six private enterprises to enhance their production capacities in a strategic effort by government to bolster local businesses. The heads of these companies officially received their partnership terms of reference from Minister Lamine Ousmane May during a ceremony in Yaoundé today. Patience Wingo reports.
The allocation of funds to the six private companies involved in processing fruits, vegetables and cereals is part of a broader government initiative aimed at supporting the local private sector and stimulating job creation. These subsidies, distributed among various businesses, are designed to help companies acquire state-of-the-art equipment to enhance their production processes.
Thierry Nyamen, I'm the promoter of Anti-Food Tanti.
We are really proud of what the government did for us because it is an opportunity for us to increase our capacity, because with the subvention that we have received, it is for us to buy new machines, new technology, to create new jobs.
In a ceremony with the heads of the selected companies, the Minister of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, Alamin Usman May, reaffirmed the importance of these subsidies, emphasizing that the success of these businesses would play a vital role in the country's economic stability.
And in the following excerpt of an interview of Minister Alamin Usman May, he emphasizes that the initiative is in line with government's import substitution strategy designed to strengthen the promotion of the Made in Cameroon label. He spoke to Patience Zwingo.
With this, we are giving to these six companies the possibility to get more competitive, conquer new markets, and satisfy our consumptions. These six companies are championing our import substitution policy. These six companies are part of our wish to create strong Made in Cameroon creating companies. I wish all the success you deserve in delivering your part of the job.
Minister Alamin Usman May. In the meantime, the government of Cameroon has reiterated the commitment to create a safe and protective learning environment in the country that guarantees access to quality and inclusive education for all children. This was in Yaoundé today during a workshop to validate the Safe Schools Declaration Roadmap that was chaired by the Minister of Secondary Education, Professor Nalo Valyunga, in the presence of the Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Professor Marie-Thérèse Abinandoua, and a cross-section of members of government and development partners. The initiative is championed, amongst others, by Plan Cameroon and UNICEF. Here now is Professor Nalo Valyunga, Minister of Secondary Education, who says the Safe Schools Declaration Roadmap will contribute towards raising awareness about the imperative to keep schools free from violence.
Getting the school safe is a continuous process. It's not a process that you do today and you say your schools are safe, so that's it. Now, I think that we're getting somewhere because people are becoming aware of the fact that schools should not be touched. That way, a lot more schools are going on. So we have succeeded more than at the beginning in 2018, 2019, all that. It was just a chaotic kind of thing. Now people are very, very, very conscious of the fact that children need quality education and that those premises should not be touched. The contribution will be that everybody will be committed to that attitude. And so everybody who has a school has to know that that quality education is meant for all who come for the access to the school. We want to be able to have legislation. People should know that if there's a school, this is how you behave and the school must go on. It is not a place for just anybody to come in and start a fight.
And that was the Minister of Secondary Education, Professor Nalo Valyunga. In sports, Gazelle FA of Garoua are leading on the unofficial standing of the National Division One Football Championship with 10 points after their 1-0 win against Astre Football Club of Douala this Sunday in one of the Day 5 matches. Day 5, which will be completed after three delayed fixtures programmed today and tomorrow in Yaoundé. Ben Collins Newberry has the report.
This afternoon's match is a must-win for Canon Sportif of Yaoundé if they want to regain the first position they occupied after day four matches. For Dynamo of Douala, found in the relegation zone with 5 points after 4 days of playing, it is a match for survival. Hostilities are thus awaited in the minutes ahead at their next one of the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium. The two delayed day five fixtures this Tuesday in Yaoundé will also be crucial. AS Fortuna, lodged in the drop zone with 3 points, will face Union Sportive of Douala, who have 8 points. This is a match of extremes, with Union seeking a win to continue competing with the top teams, while AS Fortuna will be battling to leave the relegation zone. Defending cup winners, Colombe Sportive of the Ja and Lobo, with 8 points, will also want to beat Stade Rennais of Milan to control the league table. The league table that is currently led by Gazelle FA of Garoua with 10 points following their 1-0 win against Astro of Douala. Defending champions, Victoria United of Limbe thrashed PWD of Bamina 3-1 and occupied the second spot. 18-time champions of Cameroon, Cotonspor of Garoua, escaped the relegation zone thanks to their 2-1 win against Aigle Royal of the Mungu. Two day five matches ended in parity, 1-1 between Pante Sportif of Dende and Young Sports Academy of Bamenda, and between Bambutus of Boda and Fourth Azu Elite of Yaoundé.
Meanwhile, Avion Academy and Atlantique of Kribi are currently facing off in the last day three fixture of the Elite 2 Football Championship. Bafmeng United of Menchum and Unispor of Bafang are topping the two pools of the championship with 7 points after their victories yesterday. Harrison Ashutiku has the details.
A win for Avion of Nkam this afternoon at the annex of the Bepanda Stadium in Douala will take them to the top of Pool B with 9 points. A draw will keep them at the same position with Unispor of Bafang, who humbled Dragon 3-0 to take their points to 7. Third in the table, Ngoke Tunja of Bamenda defeated struggling Yafut 2-0, while Apejes on Fou and Raseng of Bafusam separated on a 2-2 draw. In the meantime, Bafmeng United of Menchum whitewashed Jiko of Banjun 4-0 to move to the top of Pool A with 7 points. Second in the table, ISFA played a 1-1 draw with Union Sportive of Abongbang. Aigle Royal of the Menwa, for their part, grabbed their first point of the season with a 1-1 draw with Fovo of Baham. At the Centenary Stadium in Limbe, Isosa were also held to a goalless draw by a Dingspor of Leke, who have 2 points. Tekase was on standby.
Thank you, Harrison Asho. Now to NCRTV's afternoon edition. A reminder of our top stories. Cameroon positions itself as potential exporter of transformed steel products in the CEMAC zone with the laying of the foundation stone for the construction of a modern steel transforming plant in the Kribi Port Industrial Zone. CRTV's afternoon edition was a presentation of Drusilla Mokoso Joki. Up next is a summary of the news in the French language with Prisca Njeng Mengolo. Bon après-midi.
Bon après-midi. Le président de la République du Cameroun, Paul Biya, selon la tradition établie, s'adresse à la nation demain mardi 31 décembre 2024. C'est l'une des occasions idoines offertes au chef de l'État de donner les projections pour la prochaine année. À s'acquittant de ce devoir, le président de la République va préalablement passer en revue l'activité sociopolitique et économique de cette année qui s'achève dans moins de 48 heures. Au nom du chef de l'État Paul Biya, le premier ministre chef du gouvernement Joseph Dion Nguté a procédé ce lundi à la pose de la première pierre des travaux de construction du complexe de sidérurgie moderne de Kribi. Le projet est porté par la société chinoise Cameroun Steel Group SA, spécialisée dans l'acierie. La cérémonie s'est tenue à Kribi, département de l'Océan, région du Sud. Fichiers électoraux, les listes électorales définitives sont disponibles. Dans un communiqué rendu public ce lundi 30 décembre 2024 à Yaoundé, le directeur général des élections, Eric Essoussi, informe les citoyens camerounais, les partis politiques et l'administration que les listes électorales sont disponibles pour consultation auprès des antennes communales d'Elections Cameroun et des points focaux de l'ICAM dans les représentations diplomatiques et postes consulaires du Cameroun à l'étranger, que les statistiques de la révision des listes électorales de 2024 se présente ainsi qu'il suit. Nombre d'électeurs inscrits 7 845 622, dont 4 207 957 hommes, contre 3 637 665 femmes enregistrées. La diaspora, quant à elle, enregistre un total de 26 800 citoyens inscrits à l'étranger. Pour terminer en sport, MTN Elite One, canon sportif de Yaoundé, affronte Dynamo du Douala. La rencontre prévue cet après-midi à 15h30 dans l'annexe 1 de Fandina s'inscrit dans le cadre de la 5e journée de MTN Elite One, ouverte hier. Union de Douala et Colombe du Djaïlobo, deux autres candidats affirmés au leadership, concluent ce 5e acte demain mardi. Madame, Monsieur, c'était le condensé du TriPM. Merci de l'avoir suivi. Bonne suite des programmes sur le poste national de la CIAC TV.